Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will commence from 12 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Loi Shanu Elo Kotshim Han Echolim. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef is the first of two opinions regarding that which it said in the Mishnah that the Gid HaNoshe prohibition is binding in the case of Mukdoshim, sacrifices. So he qualifies that and says that it is so, it's true that there is a Gid HaNoshe prohibition, that is true only by the Kodshim HaNe'echolim, sacrifices that are consumed, for example, a Chatos, a sin offering, an Osham, and a Shlomim offering. Avo Kodshim She'eno Ne'echolim, sacrifices that are not eaten, for example, a Korban Oila, Ein Iser Gid Noheg Bohem. The Gid HaNoshe prohibition does not apply. In other words, the Ola is forbidden to eat anyway by virtue of the fact that it is an Ola. The Gid HaNoshe of the Ola doesn't pose an additional prohibition per se. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan is a second opinion on this matter, and he says, Echod Kodshim HaNe'echolim, Ve'echod Kodshim She'ein Ne'echolim, Iser Gid Noheg Bohen. Rabbi Yochanan emphasizes that even in the case of the Korban Ola, there is a separate Gid HaNoshe prohibition. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice that there is a triangle with a colored in tip. And you'll find this in the case of Rav Papa, and a little bit later, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Within Rav Papa, there are two Lashonos. There's an Ikra the Amri. These are signified by a 1 and 2 that you see marked. And Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, their role is explained in the outside margin. We have a Nose and a Mivne that accompany this Gemara. The Nose reads as follows, and we've already touched upon this in the Gemara. Deois Shoinois Mosayish Iser Gid HaNoshe B'Kodshim. We have seen, or there are different opinions, when does the prohibition of Gid HaNoshe apply to Kodshim, to sacrifices? V'achilosa B'ha'alosa. We will eventually speak about the eating of the Gid HaNoshe of these sacrifices and the offering on the Mizbeach of these, of the Gid HaNoshe of the sacrifices. That's Ha'alosa. We will notice under our Mivneh heading, we have Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Cholkim, they argue, Be'im Yesh Machloikes Bein Rav Chiya Bar Yosef V'Rav Yochanan Li'el. Is there in fact a machlokes between the two shittas that we read? We read Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan, and it seemed on the surface that there was a machlokes, but that itself will come under discussion. So let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Papa, V'lo Pligi. Rav Papa surprises us with a comment that there is no machlokes between Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan. Kan lehalkoisoi, kan lehaaloisoi. Lehalkoso involves lashings. We will say, like Rav Yochanan, that there is that the Gid HaNoshe is applicable. The Isser of Gid HaNoshe is applicable to both kinds of kochim, those that are eaten and those that are not eaten. That's true with regard to the eating of the Gid HaNoshe. So that when the Ranmoth Papa says, Kan le halkoisoi, regarding malkos, regarding lashings, there will be lashings if one eats it. The comment that Ein Iser Gid Noheg Bohen, that's with regard to Ha'aloh, with regard to putting it on the Mizbeach. In other words, there would be no prohibition in putting the Gid HaNoshe of Kodshim She'ein Ne'echolim on the Mizbeach. In other words, there's no requirement of keeping the Gid HaNoshe of a Korban Oilo off the Mizbeach. So let us review this. With regard to the eating of it, then we will say there is a prohibition, and there's Malkos, and that's what Rav Yochanan was saying. He said, Echot kochim ha-ne'echol, echot kochim she'ene'echolim, whether they be the eaten korbanos or the non-eaten korbanos, like an ola, there will be lashing for the eating of the Gid HaNoshe, of all kinds of korbanos. The comment that said, Ein iser gid noheg bohen, that is with regard to lahaloso, that namely that which Reb Chir Bar Yosef said, there is no prohibition in putting the Gid HaNoshe on the Mizbeach of a Korban Ola. Now we have another version of Rav Papa, Ikot Yamri, Omar Rav Papa, Veloi Pligi, Kan lechaltsoi, Vekan lahaloisoi. L'chaltso means the removal of the gid from the leg. If we glance in the Rashi, on the second line under the Gemara, you'll notice a star. Kan l'chaltso, kan l'haloso. Man diomar ein noheg ba'oila. The one who said that there is no prohibition of gid with regard to the ola. L'chaltso komar. She'eno mitzuv l'chaltso m'nayerach. You're not commanded to remove the gid from the leg of a korban ola. Umandam or noheg, the one who said that gid is noheg, lahaloisoi ko'omar, namely, the osur lahaloso bifnei atzmo impirish min hayerech. If, let us say, that the gid got separated, it was cut out, maybe you don't have to do it, but let's say it was cut out of the leg, so as far as korbanos that are eaten, so that certainly will be cut out. But korban ola, let us say it was cut out, then there will be an iser in putting it on the mizbeach separately, as a gid alone. And with regard to that, then that's where Rabbi Yochanan's din applies, that no distinction is made between kochim ha-necholim and kochim she'en enom ne'echolim. There will be a prohibition of putting the separated Gid HaNoshe of those korbanos on the Mizbeach. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar Leha'aloso Pligi. Rav Nachman tells us that there is a machlokis between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chiyo Bar Yosef, and that is with regard to the putting up on the Mizbeach, the offering up on the Mizbeach. Before we go further, let us glance at what we have on the side, a title, Nosei Hemshech. In other words, we're giving a title to the continuation of the sugya. And we have written on the side, Hezbero Sherav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. His Hezber of this Gemara is, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Reb Yochanan Cholkin, they argue, Kidepligi Rebbe V'Rabbonan, paralleling an earlier machlokis between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, im ma'alim lemizbeach yerech shel oilo im gid hanoshe besoichoi. That when we put on the mizbeach, when we offer up on the mizbeach the leg of a korban ola, it should be pointed out that a korban ola was completely burnt. However, it was dismembered limb by limb before it was placed on the fire. So the issue here is that when you're bringing the leg of an ola up on the Mizbeach, does one bring it on the Mizbech with the Gid Hanoshe in it? Let us glance at the Rashi that you find under the Gemara, five lines under the Gemara. Rav Nahum Yitzchok Omar, L'chaltso Pligi. L'chaltso, we explained before, meant the removal. There's another Loshon in the middle of the line, which we've dashed, underlined, Ulelishna Kamo, L'haloso Pligi. This is the text that we have. Rav Yachman says that they argue L'haloso. Manda Omar Noheg, the one that says that the Isser Gid is binding, Kosovar Laloso Nami Osir Im Hayerech, that it would be Osir to bring it up together with the leg, Kedepligi Rebbe Rabbonin Lekamon, as will be seen later in our Gemara, a machlokus between Rebbe and the Rabbonin, the Rebbe Shori, according to Rebbe, it's Mutter to bring the leg of the Ola with the Gid in it, Kidemuki Lekamon Aliva de Rebbe, Ki Itzdrich Kra, Rebbe will tell us that we need a Pasuk that will be referred to later, Lemishri Gid Hanoshe B'Mechubar, to allow the offering up of the Gid Hanoshe while attached, while still part of the leg. Ula Rabbonon Osir, according to Rabbonon, that situation will be Osir, Deboinon Min Hamuter Li Yisrael, based on a Pasuk that the Gemara will cite. We require that which is offered on the Mizbeach to be something that would be mutter for a Jew to eat. And since the Gid Hanoshe is not something that is allowed to be eaten, it is not allowed to be offered up on the Mizbeach as well. So, turning back to the Gemara, Rav Nachum or Yitzchok Omar, L'haloso Pligi, the machlokis between... There is a machlokas between Reb Chiya bar Yosef and Reb Yochanan regarding the offering up of a leg of an Ola with the Gid Hanoshe in it. We have to point out, marking-wise, first of all, between the lines we've written Iker Dvarov Beroish Omid Beis. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok's main point, we will say, will become apparent when we get to the top of Omid Beis, of our Gemara. So we're not going to see immediately the main point of what he is saying. As a result of this, we also have added a long point marking to the Gemara. You see a nun to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line, and this continues till Omid Beis, about four lines from the top. So we need to learn all of this Gemara in order to get to the point that he's trying to make. So in the meantime, Rav Nachum Yitzchok tells us that there is a machlokes between Rav Chiya bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan regarding ha'alah, the offering up of the Gid Hanoshe of an Ola. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame. V'hiktir ha'koyin es ha'kol ha'mizbecha. The pasuk says that the kohen shall offer it entirely onto the mizbeach, and we're talking about a korban ola which is completely offered. L'rabois ho'atzomos v'agidim v'karnayim v'tlafayim. This comes to include the offering of its bones, its sinews, its horns, and its hooves. Yochol afilu pirshu. Is this the case even if the horns or the sinews, etc., these items got separated from the limb to which it's attached? Talmud Lomar, V'asisa Elisecha Habosir V'Hadam. The Pasuk also says, regarding the Korban Ola, it says, and you shall process the meat and the blood. Meat and blood would seem to be exclusionary of horns, sinews, hooves, and that which we mentioned in the list. Well, ibosur v'dam, if that is all that's required based on this pasuk, then yochol yachlots gidin v'atzamos v'ale bosur legabi mizbech. Is this an instruction, therefore, to separate the gidin atzamos from the meat and offer just the meat? Talmud lomar v'hiktir ha'kohen es ha'kol ha'mizbecha. So then we revert to the opening pasuk that says, no, you're supposed to offer everything up. So how do you resolve these two psukim? One pasuk being limited, just basar v'dam, the other pasuk being inclusive. Ha'ketzad, how do we resolve this? Answer, mechuborim yalu. These items, the gidim karnayim, tlefayim, and atzamos, if they are attached to the limb from in which they grow, so then ya'alu, they are offered pirshu. If they got separated, let us say the bone fell out of the meat in surrounding it, so then afilu barosha shemizbeach yerdu. Even if the separation took place after it was already brought to the top of the mizbeach, in other words, prior to its being put in the fireplace on the mizbeach, the bone or the hoof got separated from the limb, then yerdu, that the hoof or the bone, the sinew or the horns, they are to be taken down. Uman tano deshamis le domer pirshu yerdu. Who is the Tana who would be the author of this source that says that if they get separated, they are taken off the Mizbeach? Rashi points out that what the Gemara is trying to say is that this source that we just read is not not representative of a unanimous opinion. It's not according to all authorities. It's Rebbe, the Gemara will tell us, it's Rebbe and the Rabbonim disagree. As a result of this discussion, we will eventually get to the point, but we don't see it yet, that Rebbe will hold that the Gid Hanoshe is allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, and the Rabbonin will hold it's forbidden. But that, we have to wait and see. So the Gemara continues, that the source that said, Pirshu Yerdu, if the hooves, bones, sinews, or hooves get separated from the limb, even on top of the Mizbeach, they are to be brought down, Rebbe he. This is an idea, this is the idea of Rebbe, not unanimous. Desanyo, and we have a Tanaic source in which Rebbe's opinion will come forth. Vehikter HaKoyin is HaKoyil, that's the Pasuk. L'Rabbo Yisrat Samos HaGinim HaKarnayim V'etlafayim V'afilu Pirshu. This Pasuk is telling us, according to this opinion, this is a new opinion, that the Gidim Atzamos Karnayim Tlefayim, even if they get separated, they are to be offered in the fire. So what am I supposed to do with this pasuk that says that you shall offer of the korban ola only the basar and dam? Answer: bepoikin. That's true in a case that the parts of the korban flipped off the mizbeach. Ha ketzat. Well, how are we to now resolve these psukim? Ikule bosrato machsir. If you have a situation where, let's say, the meat of the ola was in the fire and a piece of meat jumped out of the fire, sometimes in a crackling fire, you can have this situation where pieces are cast out. So if a piece of meat was cast out, that you have to put back into the fire. However, if the same thing happens with bones and sinews and hooves that are in the fire and jump out of the fire, those you don't have to put back in. However, initially, if they were not put in the fire yet, they are put in the fire, even if they got separated from the limb to which they had been attached. That opinion is not the same as the opinion we saw in the previous source. This is the opinion of the Rabbonan. Now we will see Rebbe. Rebbe Oimer, Kosev Echad Omer V'Hikter HaKoyin Es HaKoyil Riba. One Pasuk says, the Kohen shall offer everything. That's inclusionary. The Kosev Echad Omer V'Yosis HaLos Echad Boser V'Dam. This Pasuk is limiting, it's exclusionary. Mi'eit limits. It's limiting us to the Boser, the meat and dam, the blood. Well, how do we resolve this? Mechuborim yalu. If the atzamos, gidim, karnayim, and telafayim are attached to the limb, so they are offered, and that's the pasuk of Ikter Hakoyinis Hakoyil. Everything, however, pirshu afilu barosha shel mizbeach. If they got separated, even while on the top of the mizbeach, yerdu, they are to be taken off and not offered. So, in a case of pirshu, then we say the pasuk of Asisa Asecha Boser Adam is the governing source. As we go on, we now go back and forth between the two Tanoim, V'Rabbanan, Mechuborin lo itzterich kro lebuye. Unlike Rebbe, the Rabbanan say that if you're talking about bones, sinews, hooves, and horns that are attached to the limb, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you offer it. Rebbe said, I need the pasuk of v'hikti akoyin es hakoyl for that. The Rabbanan say, I don't need a pasuk for that. Why not? Midi dehave aroisha shel oila. Similar to the halacha of the head of an ola. The head of an ola, the pasuk says, you have to offer it. Now, in the head of an ola, there are a lot of bones. So it's known already from that pasuk, v'es haroish, that bones are offered up. So I don't need to use up the hikter akein es hakol for the same purpose. Ki itzterich kro lepirshu. The pasuk that says v'hikter hakol, that you shall offer everything, that is needed to include a new case, the case where they got separated. Where they got separated, the Rabbanan say, even though they're separated, the bones, the sinews, the hooves, the horns got separated from the limbs they were originally attached to, put them in the fire. The Rebbe, well, what about, what's Rebbe's response? Mechuborin dehetera lo itzterich kro lirbuye. The limbs that we've been discussing, the bones, the horns, sinews, and hooves that are attached to a limb that is mutter, or things that are attached that are themselves mutter, the chuborim dehetera, things that are attached that are mutter, I don't really need the pasuk for that. Lo itzterich kro lerbuye. Ki itzterich kro, my use of the pasuk of, we said, v'hikter ha-kol ha-mizbecha, I need that pasuk to include legid ha-noshe b'mechubar, that when you have a leg, and the leg has attached to it the gid ha-noshe, it's still, let's say, a complete leg, the pasuk is saying, offer it up. Now, the Rabbanon, they argue, Rabbanon, Mimashke Yisrael, from the Pasuk in Yecheskel that says, Mimashke Yisrael, I learn Min Hamutar Yisrael. What are you to offer up? You are to offer up only things that are mutar, not the Gid Hanoshe. Let us look at Rashi at the top, Mimashke Yisrael. Mikrohu b'sefer Yecheskel, and Rashi quotes the pasuk Sechod min hatzon min amasai mimashki Yisrael. Linyan korbonos niskeim k'siv. This pasuk is in the context of sacrifices. Umefarshin and leib b'psoch meperek elu ovrim min hamutir liYisrael. What do you offer? Something that's mutter to for a Jew to eat. Avogid hanoshe loli. But the gid hanoshe, that's not included. You don't offer that up. V'chi rovi kro. And as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, the pasuk that comes to include things, Pirshu dehetera Ravi, it comes to include things that got separated but are of a heter, of an allowed nature. Hence the Shitas Rabbanon, that if horns, sinews, bones, and hooves got separated, put them in the fire anyway. However, v'lul mechuboran de isura, but the pasuk is not going to include something that's attached, but it itself is of a forbidden nature. So from here we see that which we alluded to before, that namely, according to Rebbe, the gid hanoshe, when attached to the limb, to the leg, it will be offered as a, we'll call it a complete leg, is offered, is put in the fire with the gid hanoshe. The Rabbanon will tell you, no, you are to remove the gid hanoshe from the leg. And this is the very point that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok was telling us, namely that Reb Chiyo Bar Yosef and Rebbe Yochanan they argue, and their argument parallels this last point. Now, continuing in the Gemara, the Rebbe, as far as Rebbe is concerned, namely that we do offer the Gid Hanoshe of the Korban Ola when it's part of the leg, when it hasn't been separated, even though it's not Mutar Yisrael. So he says, Mididavi, Achelev Vidam, no different than the chelev and dam, which are parts of a sacrifice, that are in fact osur to eat, and yet they are offered. So by the same token, the gid anosh, which is osur to eat, forbidden to eat, we will offer it. The rabbanon, what do they respond? After all, it seems like there should be a parallel between the gid anosh with the chelev and dam. So they say, regarding the chelev and dam, mitzvoson bekach, shiny. The Iker Korban, that is the mitzvah of the Korban. The Iker of a Korban is the Chelev and Dam. So they have a central role to fulfill, the offering of the Chelev and Dam. We cannot say the same thing about the Gid Hanoshe. Therefore, the Rabbanon don't see Chelev and Dam as being a precedent for allowing the offering of the Gid Hanoshe as well. Omar Ravuna, Gid Hanoshe Shel Oila Cholso LeTapuach. The Gid Hanoshe of an Ola offering is to be removed and placed in the Tapuach, or on the Tapuach. The Tapuach was a heap of ash that accumulated on the top of the Mizbeach on a daily basis. There was a fireplace, and after sacrifices were burnt in the fireplace, they would clean out the fireplace and move the ash over to a pile that eventually became a large pile of ash called the Tapuach. Omar Rav Chiska, Mori Dichi. Mori Dichi is an expression. And it's a reference to you who said this teaching, and I want to question it. Miksiv alkein lo yochal hamizbeach. Does it say regarding the gid hanoshe that the mizbeach shall not consume gid hanoshe? Rather, it says alkein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael ksiv. It says as far as a prohibition is concerned, that's only regarding Jewish consumption of it. But the Mizbeach is allowed to consume it. Therefore, according to Rav Chisda, there's no need to take the Gid and throw it onto the Tapuach, onto this pile of ash, as an expression of a prohibition of offering it in the fire. Rav Huna, who says that you do not offer the Gid Hanoshe, but rather remove it and put it on the ash pile and not into the fire. Mimashki Yisrael, min hamuter li Yisrael, the pasuk that governs that which can be offered says only that which can be eaten by a Jew can be put into the fire of the Mizbeach. The Gid Hanoshe cannot be eaten by a Jew. It's not Mashki Yisrael. Therefore, it cannot be put in the fire. It has to be removed from the leg and placed on the Tapuach. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, and we will shortly see that this is a kashe on Rav Huna. Rav Huna said it's not offered in the fire, and here's a source that will seem to say the contrary. It says, Gid Hanoshe shel Shlomim mechabdoi la'amo. The Gid Hanoshe of a Shlomim, now a Shlomim is a sacrifice that all of the meat was eaten. And therefore, its Gid Hanoshe, which is something that's prohibited, had to be removed, and it was swept into the Amo. The Amo was a stream that carried the waste of the Beis HaMikdash out of the Har HaBayis. Vishel Ola, the Gid Hanoshe of an Ola, Ma'alehu. Now, my love, Ma'alehu Matiro. The word Ma'alehu means you bring it up. Doesn't it mean bring it up and offer it? So we see that, and that would be not like Rav Huna. Lo, the Gemara rejects that question and answers Maleu v'Cholso. you bring it up to the top of the Mizbeach, that's Ma'alehu, but not put it in the fire. Chotso, and remove it from the leg, one on top of the Mizbeach, and put it into the Tapuach. The Gemara asks, if you're going to be separating anyway, so why do you have to bring it up to the Mizbeach? What, you bring it up to the Mizbeach just to have it separated and put on the Tapuach? The Gemara says, yes, I have to bring the leg up with the Gid Hanoshe still in it. Mishum Shenemar Hakriveu Nolif Chosecha. This pasuk is a pasuk cited very often throughout the Shas, that literally it means, bring this or offer it to your leader, to the governor, to the official. And from this we learn that that which is offered in the Beis HaMikdash must be something of a pleasant nature, something that you wouldn't feel embarrassed to offer to a human official. Now it must be pointed out that a leg from which the Gid Hanoshe was removed, the leg, the piece of meat, is sliced open, and there may in fact be numerous cuts and cuts, so called chopping of the meat. The resultant piece of meat isn't pleasant looking. It doesn't look like a nice piece, a nice cut of beef. It's as a result of that, when I have a need to offer the Ola leg in the fire, that's for sure. But what kind of leg are you going to bring up to the top of the Mizbeach? One that's already been chopped and cut open, from which the Gid has been removed? That would be a violation of Hakriveu Nolif Chosecha. Therefore, we tell you, bring up to the top of the Mizbeach something that looks nice, and right before you put the meat in the fire, then remove the Gid. Tanyo Kavosi de Rav Huna. Here we have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Huna, that when it comes to the Gid Hanoshe of an Ola, you do not put it in the fire. Gid Hanoshe shel Shlomim mechabdu l'amo, v'shel Ola choltzoi l'tapuach. And we've dashed, underlined, the expression Ola choltzoi l'tapuach, which is exactly what Rav Huna had said. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note that accompanies this. The topic heading we call Loshon Guzma. Guzma is an expression that means something of an exaggerated nature. An expression or a description that appears to be exaggerated. We will notice double underlinings under Rava's name. We want to highlight his comments as they appear. And the double underline with little dots in it helps to highlight Rava. And later in the Gemara, we will see a series of diamonds. They feature Loshon Guzma Hamofia B'Loshon Chachomim B'Toru B'Neviim. This idea or this phenomenon of expressions that are, we'll call it, not exact. Loshon Guzma or Loshon Havoi, which we will see as a term, a similar term in the Gemara, where something that's said is not accurate. As Rashi says, Loshon Hedyo She'eno Medaktik V'Dvorov. This phenomenon appears amongst comments made by the Rabbanon, by the Chachomim, Psukim in the Torah, and Psukim in the Neviim. And the Gemara will show proof to this. Now, the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source that says, Tapuach Oya Be'emsam Mizbeach. There was this heap of ash in the middle of the altar. Pa'omim Hoya Alov Kishloish Meos Kur. At times, there was approximately 300 kur of ash. Now, 300 kur is the name of a measure. It's a large measure. And here it's saying 300 kur of ash were found at times on the Mizbeach. Well, that's a bit exaggerated. Omar, Rova, Guzma. That's what we just said. It's exaggerated. Rashi says, Guzma milso bi'almo v'lav davka. The me'olim lo higia lishlosh me'os kur. It's just an expression, never got to that amount. Continuing in the Gemara, we have another Tanaic source, Ishku es hatomid b'kois shel zahav. The tomid is the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice, actually two animals, one offered in the morning and one offered in the afternoon. Before it was slaughtered, this source says it was given water to drink from a golden cup. The reason for giving an animal water to drink before its slaughtering is that makes it easier to skin it later on. However, the source is saying that it was given to drink from specifically from a gold cup. Omar Rava Guzma. The reference to a gold cup for this sheep to drink from, that is exaggerated. Omar Rabbi Ami. Dibru Torah Loshon Havoi, Dibru Nevi'im Loshon Havoi, Dibru Chachomim Loshon Havoi. All three of these categories, you will find in them expressions of exaggeration, of, we'll say, non-precision. Dibru Chachomim Loshon Havoi, Hoda Moran, we cited an example of that already. We saw the Shlosh Meos Kur of the ashes, the Kois Shelzov that the Tumid was given to drink from. Dibro Torah Loshnavoi, the Torah has psukim that are of this nature also. Well, where do you see that? The Pasuk says, Orim Gedoilos Uvitsuros Bashamayim, large fortified cities in the sky. All right, cities in the sky, that idea is an expression that on a literal basis is exaggerated. Nevi'im, Dibru Nevi'im Loshon Havoi, Vatiboka Ha'oretz L'Kolam. As a result of their shouting, the world, the land split open. This idea conveys, the pasuk conveys the idea that it was a lot of noise, but that the earth literally split open as a result of their screaming, that is an exaggeration. Omar of Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni, Omar Shmuel, B'sholosh Mekoymos Dibru Chachomim Loshon Havoi, Elu Hain. On three occasions, the Chachomim used exaggerated expressions. Now, we saw already a reference to exaggerated expressions on the part of the Chachomim. He represents an alternative opinion to this. The Gemara will tell us that he argues with Rava in the case of the Kois HaTomet. So now his list, therefore, says that the case of Tapuach, which we had above, the 300 kor, is an exaggeration. Gefen, Uporoches. Two more cases we have yet to see. The triangles that will appear now highlight the three cases of Rav Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni. Let us go over this point that we made based on the Rashi, namely that his three include Tapuach, Gefen, and Poroches. He does not mention, though, that the Kois Shel Tomid was an exaggeration. Now, it's explained, the reason for that is because he, Rav Yitzchok, is of the opinion that there was an actual Kois Shel Zav from which the animal drank. And the reason for that is that in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash represented opulence. And there's a concept, Ein Anius B'mokom Ashirus. There are to be no expressions of poverty in a place of wealth. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash, which represented wealth and opulence, there it was only appropriate to have a golden cup used for the animal drinking. Continuing in the Gemara, and now we see the triangles which highlight the three examples of Loshon Havoi on the part of Chachomim according to Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni. Tapuach Hoda Amoran, the case of the Tapuach, we mentioned that earlier. And if one wants the convenience of finding it quickly, you can take advantage of the little arrow that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. and the points to an arrow upper on the upper part of the page, which featured a source that said that Tapuach was in the middle of Mizbeach with 300 kor. Geffen, desnan. What's the case of the vine? The Gemara explains, Geffen shel zohav, hoyso medes al pischo shel hechal. There was a type of vine, a model of a vine, that stood at the entrance to the Hechal, the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. Umudla al-Gabi Kunsos, and it was supported on poles. The Chomishoya Misnadev Gargir O Eshkol Mevi V'toyle Ba. Anyone who wanted to make a donation of gold to the Beis HaMikdash, so he would bring a berry, if he was, if a small donation, or a cluster of gold. That's the, you can see the imagery here with regard to the vine. So you would bring individual grapes of gold, so to speak, or a whole cluster that of gold, and hang it on this vine. That's mevi v'toylaba amarabel ozer b'vitzodak ma'isehoya. There was an occasion v'nimnu alav shlosh me'as kohanim lifanosan, that they needed 300 kohanim to carry away the vine, which would indicate that there was an awful large amount of gold that had been donated. So what we're seeing here is that there was a large amount of gold that had been donated, but it, in order to carry the amount away, you wouldn't have needed to have 300 kohanim. Many kohanim, yes, but not 300. Poroches desnan. What's the case of the poroches in which we see a Lashon Havoy? And by the way, with our dashed underlining, we're emphasizing the point that is exaggerated. The poroches, it was a curtain that appeared, that was in the Beis HaMikdash, separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKodashim. And Rashi makes reference to to another poroches as well. The poroches was made of different kinds of materials, different strands that were woven together to make the poroches, and it's described in this source. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Haskan, poroches uvyo tefach, the thickness of this curtain was a handbreadth. V'al shivim ushnaim nirim ne'reges, there were 72 strands that were laid out on the loom, and each strand was made of 24 strings. Orka arboim amo, the length was 40 amo, the rochba esrim amo, and the width of this sheet of material was 20 amos. Umishmoine mushte riboy nasis. Shmoine mushte is 82 ribo, 10,000. So it's 82 times 10,000. That's the number of chutim that made up the poroches. Rashi says on the second wide line under the Gemara, Umishmoine mushtein ribo chutim. The source continues, Ushtayim oisim b'shana, two were made every year. Ushlosh me'ez kohanim apilin oisa, and you required 300 kohanim to immerse it in a mikveh in the event that it became tomei. This number, 300 kohanim to carry off the poroches, this is an example of Lashon Havoy. This is exaggerated. He didn't need that many kohanim to carry off the poroches. The Gemara now goes back to the topic of the Gid HaNoshe, and in which leg does it apply? Does the prohibition apply? We have a nosei, a topic heading in the outside margin. Machlokes Tanoim e Gid HaNoshe b'yerek Nohei e Nohei Gid HaNoshe b'yerek Smoil. Machlok is Tanei controversy whether the Gid HaNoshe applies to the left leg of the animal as well. The Gemara, B'yerech shel yamin u b'yerech shel smol. Our Mishnah said that the Din Hanoshe prohibition applies to the right and left hind legs. Masnisin Delo Ke Rebbe Yehuda, our Mishnah is not according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Tesanya, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Eino Noheg Elo Ba'achas. Rebbe Yehuda says it's a prohibition that applies only to one leg. Vardas Machras Es Shel Yamin. And logic would rule in favor of the right leg as being the one with the Gid Hanoshe prohibition. Now the Gemara asks, regarding the comment just made of Rabbi Yehuda that Hadas Machras, Mifshat Pshita Leila Rabbi Yehuda, is it a matter of certainty to Rabbi Yehuda that the Gid Hanoshe applies only to the right leg? Umay Das, and the expression Das in the source, what does it mean? Das Torah, the opinion of the Torah, an expression of certainty that the Torah holds that it's the right leg. Oy, Dilma, or possibly Sfuki Misafkale, that Rabbi Yehuda was actually in doubt. Umay Das, he was in doubt as to which leg it applies to, and the expression Das in this case would mean Das Noite, that my thinking would lean toward, Noite means leans, my own thinking would lean toward the right leg. So according to the first approach, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says Das Machras Shel Yamin, it means that the Torah has decided on it being the right. The second approach says that Hadas Machras means my thinking leans towards the right leg as having this prohibition. So which way are we to go? As the Gemara continues, we will see the use of geometric forms to show us in which direction we are going. So as we go on in the Gemara, you will notice, continuing down Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, we go through a number of stages or attempts in order to determine which way things are going. So as you will navigate according to the shapes that appear and the Mivneh heading that you see in the outside margin, you will then be able to see which direction we are trying to go in. So as we open up this first approach, we're calling this number one, and we see a long point marking that accompanies this piece of Gemara. That's a nun that's encircled the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. Toward the end of this point, you see it says, "I amris bishlamo svuke misafka le shapir." So at this point, we will be going in the direction of suggesting that it really Rabbi Yehuda is besuffic about this. So you can see we have this house shape around the toshma with the point facing up. So this will indicate, as we said, in the direction of doubt, that Rabbi Yehuda was saying his opinion that it applies to the right, but it was in doubt, and his mind, his logic, leaned toward that direction. On, as we said, on Tzadi Aleph, on the Aleph, we will notice the house form with the point facing down, if we call it at stage two, because at that point in the Gemara, you see it at the stage two, there's also a long point marking that accompanies the Gemara, and there's a squiggle underlined expression, "E amris bishlamo mifshat pshitole shapir," which is the opposite of the approach we took in number one. And the Gemara will continue developing that point and eventually rebutting it. Afterwards, the Gemara then comes to point three with its introductory toshma. And at that point, we will also see that it's clear to Rabbi Yehuda, mifshat pshitale. So as a result of that, the third approach is similar to the second approach in trying to go in the direction of mifshat pshitale. Hence, we have the same house marking with the tip facing down. now we turn to the Gemara. The question has been raised: is Rabbi Yehuda saying with certainty that it applies to the right leg, or is he saying it as a matter of doubt, with his feelings leaning toward the right leg? Toshma, Hatsamos Vagidim Vanoisar Yisrafu Lishisha Asar. This source is referring to the Korban Pesach, and the 16th here is the 16th of Nisan. The Korban Pesach was supposed to be eaten during the night between the 14th and 15th of Nisan. That's the Seder night. That was the time in the Beis HaMikdash that they would eat the Korban Pesach. The day of the 15th, the first day of Pesach, is a holiday, and there's a rule, Ein Sorfin Kodshim B'Yom Tov, that we don't burn korbanos, and we're talking here primarily about korbanos, the Korban Pesach, which was really slaughtered and processed during the weekday, during the 14th by day, even though it was eaten on the holiday itself. So we don't burn korbanos on certainly we don't burn weekday korbanos on a holiday. Ein Sorfin Kodshim B'Yom Tov. Therefore, the first opportunity to burn it is the 16th. The Gemara goes on, V'havinon bo, Hani Gidi my aviditayu. The Gidim that are mentioned in this source, what is their nature? And we have, you'll see the use of a double underline in indicating stages in trying to determine what we are talking about in this source. I Gide Bosar Lichlinu. If these are sinews that are soft and meat-like in consistency, so then they should have been eaten. V'i the Isur, if they are in fact like meat-type gidin, but they just happen to be left over, well, hainu nosar. It's already included in the expression nosar, which is a reference to leftover meat that would be burned on the 16th. Ela gide savor. Well, maybe it's a reference to neck sinews. So if that's the case, ilav bosar ninhu, if it's not meat-like, then lishdinu, they just should have been thrown away. And there's no need to have left them over to the 16th to be burnt. They're simply not meat. V'omar av chizda, loy nitzucha elo legid hanoshe, the expression gidim in the source that you saw dashed underline is a reference specifically to the gid hanoshe, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who said that it applies to only one of the two legs. Now, the Gemara goes on to say, "E amris bishlamo sfuke nesafko le shapir." If you say that Rabbi Yehuda was basically in doubt as to which leg the gid hanoshe is forbidden, then this approach makes sense. This approach that's found in the source that says the gidim, which would be the gid hanoshes of both legs, are to be left over to the 16th and only then be burnt. If you are going to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda was certain that the gid hanoshe applies only to the right leg, then what is this source talking about? The halacha should have been the allowed leg gid hanoshe should have been eaten, the isur olishdei, and the forbidden one throw out immediately. What's this idea of leaving it over to the 16th? And yet it says that the gidim are left over to the 16th. So this shows us it must be that Rabbi Yehuda was in a state of doubt, and therefore certainly he couldn't eat either one, because we don't know which one is really the prohibited one. And you couldn't throw them away either, because one of them was in fact allowed to be eaten. And something that's allowed to be eaten, you can't just throw away. Therefore, the only option was to leave it over till the 16th, in which even that which would have been allowed becomes nosar and is to be burnt. The Gemara now rejects this approach. Omar of Ika Barchia Barchanina Le'olam e Malach Mifshet Pshita Lei. We can tell you that Rebbe Yehuda was in fact certain that it applies only to the right leg. Then the question is, why does this source speak about Gidim that are burnt on the 16th? As we go on in the Gemara, let us point out that there will be several answers, several approaches to, or several ways, we'll say, of rejecting this source. V'hacha, this is the first approach, v'hacha b'mayaskinon, here it is talking about a case, k'shehukru b'sof nis'arvu. The gid hanoshe, we'll say the certain one, the right one, got mixed up with the left one. So even though he was sure that the gid hanoshe prohibition applies only to the right one, to the right side, right leg, but it got mixed up with the other one, the left one, which is considered meat. And since I don't know which is which, I have to leave it over and have it burnt on the 16th. At the top of Tzadi Aleph, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi explains that this source of Tzomos HaGidim is not going to serve as our as a source for resolving the issue. He says, rather, Lo Nitzrucha Elo L'Shmonai. That which it says that we burn the Gidim, that's a reference to the fats around the Gid Hanoshe. Let's glance at Rashi at the top. Rav Ashi Omar Mehocha Lo Tifshot. From this source, we're not going to conclude our original, or reach a conclusion or a resolution to our original question. The taima, the burning, or the leaving over to the 16th and its eventual burning, lav mishum sveika degidhu. That is not a function of our being in doubt regarding the gid. Rather, as far as the gid itself is concerned, it was clear to Rabbi Yehuda that it's the right one. V'hacha, the source that spoke about the gidin and being left over till the 16th to be burned, b'shumon hagid ko'omar. We're talking about the fats that surround the gid. The mutter midarais, you're talking about a substance that, from a Torah standpoint, would be allowed to be eaten. However, as we will see shortly in the Gemara, the Jews conducted themselves with restriction, with stringency regarding this shuman substance, and therefore did not eat it. They treated it as if it were forbidden, and as a result of that, you couldn't throw it out immediately, because it's, from a Torah standpoint, it's allowed. However, it wasn't eaten either, because the Jews practiced a restriction with regard to this Shuman Shelgid. The Sanya, the source says, Shmono Muter, the Shuman, the fats around the Gid, are allowed from a Torah perspective. V'Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bo Yisr, the Jewish people which are holy, and holiness is an expression indicating that even that which is technically allowed, people would restrain themselves from benefiting from it, from eating it. And as a result of that, the halacha concerning the gidin that was mentioned in the sources, that was left over till the 16th and burnt. Once again, it couldn't have been eaten because Jews treated it with restriction, but it couldn't be thrown out either initially, because it is allowed to be eaten from a Torah perspective, and something that's allowed, you don't sacrificial meat that's allowed, you can't just throw out. A third approach, Ravina Omar Loi Nitzrucha Elo L'Chiruv Yudomar Shmuel, the source that spoke about the Gidin being burnt on the 16th is a reference to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel's teaching. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shnei Gidim Heim. A leg has in it two Gidim, two nerves. Pnimi Samuch Le'etzem Aser V'chayovin Olav. The one that faces the inside part of the leg, in other words, the part of the leg that would be, we'll say, between the two legs, the inner side, that is the forbidden nerve, and there is, one would be punishable if he would be guilty of punishment if he eats it. Chitzon somuch lebasar, aser v'ein chayoven olav. There was an outer nerve that was forbidden, was aser, but it was aser on a rabbinic level, not on a Torah level, and there would be no, if someone did eat that, he wouldn't be chayav to suffer, let's say, lashing for eating that. So regarding this this outer nerve, it couldn't be thrown out immediately because it's on a Torah level actually allowed. Therefore, it had to be left over till the 16th to be burnt. As we said, it couldn't be thrown out immediately, but they didn't eat it either because of the fact that it carried with it a rabbinic prohibition. Even though we should have mentioned earlier, better late than never, it's highly recommended to have a book of illustrations accompanying the sugyas that apply to the Gid HaNosheh, and we have been recommending along the way throughout Maseches Chulin getting a hold of the book Sichas Chulin, authored and illustrated by Amitai Ben David, and you will find that the illustrations there are quite detailed and make and solve many mysteries that one may be left with by just learning the Gemara without the illustrations. The Gemara will continue, and Emir Tzashem, in our next shir, we will pick up with the second stage or second point in trying to determine Shitas Rav Yehuda, who said the right leg is the leg in which the Gid HaNosheh is found. Was that a statement made from a standpoint of certainty or from a position of doubt? With that, we conclude our shiur for today.